Jewish people, they say, prefer always to pay wholesale prices, not to pay full price for anything. So today we'll have a look at Avraham Avinu and his insistence on paying full price for Maaret Machpelah, for the burial place, at that point of Sarah, and subsequently for himself, and for Yitzchak and Rivka, and for Yaakov and Leah. So the Torah tells us that he wanted to pay full price. Rashi has very intriguing commentary on what exactly that means. Ala posuk, v'yitin li esmoras machpelah goyim bechesef mole yitnen oli. Commenting on the posuk that says, Avraham speaking to the family of Ephraim and saying, or Ephraim the family of Ches, and he says, I want you to give me the Maaret Machpelah and I'll pay you kesef mole, which sounds like full price. Pirush Rashi, so Rashi explains it as follows. Bechesef mole ashalem. I will pay, that's the word he adds, I will pay full price. Kol shavyeha, its entire value. So that, in other words, is telling us what he means, kesef mole, is I'll pay the full value of what it's worth. And then he brings a proof, v'chein David omar la'ravno b'chesef mole. And likewise, when David HaMelech purchased the site of what would in the future be the Beis HaMikdash from a fellow called Aravno, so he also said, in Divrei HaYomim, the expression is, that he says, kesef mole, I'll pay full price. That raises a number of questions for us. Some of them should be quite obvious to you immediately. Tzach l'havin. First question. Ma madgish Rashi b'pirushay b'chesef mole kol shavyeha d'l'chayir arezeh muvonei ha'poshet b'kosev. What has Rashi added when you read the pasuk and you saw the words kesef mole, which sounds like full money or full price? So what's Rashi adding to that by saying kol shavyeha, it's full value? Well, isn't that what kesef mole, full price, means? Obviously full price means the full value. Question two. Now, it would appear that Rashi wants to prove that kesef mole means full price by quoting elsewhere, where it's exactly the same words, kesef mole. So in the same way as I wouldn't know, for whatever reason here, that kesef mole means full price, should he have the same question in Divrei Hayomim, how has Rashi proven his point? So those are our first two obvious questions. Sounds like Rashi is telling us what we already know, and it sounds like his proof is not much of a proof because it's exactly the same words. We'll try and address that and then see, in fact, that that raises more questions. So maybe the answer is not to tell us that Rashi wants to bring proof, but he wants to bring chover. In other words, show us that the expression is used elsewhere in Tanakh. It's quite a common way of explaining things, where we say it has chover b'mikra. This word or this phrase is used elsewhere in Tanakh, and therefore we can see that it's an acceptable way to speak. And that would imply the koshalei aloshim mole b'shayches kesef. That would imply, if that's what Rashi is trying to do, to show us that this expression is an acceptable expression in Tanakh, then that would imply that his question had been, since when do you talk about money being full? Surely, the koshalei aloshim mole b'shayches kesef, the lecha'ira ein aloshim mole mas emes, el bedavash sheyitzur bo yefuchoy reik. Because usually the word mole, full, would be contrasted against the word empty. So you could say that a vessel is either empty or full. Vatemale kado, like for example with Rivka when she filled her pitcher with water to serve Eliezer, or vahaboy reik when we say that the pit that Yosef was thrown into by his brothers was empty. That's where you use the expressions full or empty. Avo bechesef, but if you're talking about money, habitei choser sholem, usually the words that you would use with regards to money, you would say either full or not full, or complete or incomplete, or you would say a lot or a little. You don't usually say full money or empty money. It's not a usual expression. So perhaps that's what Rashi wanted to resolve for us. And therefore Rashi would say, oh look, but I found that this expression is used elsewhere in Divrei HaYomim. Where David was making this deal with Aravna to buy what was later going to be the Beis HaMikdash. And that would illustrate to us that the Torah is happy to use the expression mole, full, with regards to money, even though it's not the most common or even the most appropriate language to use with regards to money. Okay, so that's what we thought. Maybe that's what Rashi wants to do. Except that that's going to raise more questions. But if he's saying, move on, two questions initially. Then if that was the case, Rashi should have said v'chein be David. Likewise, we find the same expression used with David or by David or in the context of David. And that's not what he says over here. He says v'chein David Omar. Right? And so David said. That doesn't sound like you're saying, and so the Tanakh uses the same language. Number two, according to this explanation, which we wanted to propose, all Rashi is out to prove to us is that the expression is an acceptable expression used elsewhere in Tanakh. And Rashi doesn't need to explain what kesef mole means, ki move on who, because we could understand it from the verse itself. Then Rashi could have just said, oh, look, it exists in Divrei HaYomim with David HaMelech. Now we make a parallel, acceptable language because it's used elsewhere. Why does Rashi give what seems to be an explanation that Ashalem Kol Shav Yeho, that it means I will pay the full amount? So our suggestion that what Rashi wanted to address over here is that the language doesn't seem right and he's going to prove that it's acceptable is not a good enough explanation, which takes us back to the understanding then that Rashi is explaining what Kesef Mole means. And then that's going to raise our original question. Why do you have to explain it, Bichlal? And how do you explain it? By just simply quoting the same words from elsewhere. In addition to which, we have two other questions. Two other questions about Rashi's interpretation. Well, it's actually question three now. If Rashi wants to explain that kesef mole means full value, then he did that as soon as he said kol shav yeho, the full value. Why does he have to say ashalem, I will pay the full value? That doesn't help us understand that mole means full value. That helps us to understand what Avraham Avinu was going to do, which should be self-evident in the pasuk. Also, Mayiho Arichus Birayose Bechain David Omar Le Aravna, Havale Le Meimu Kmei Bechama Bechamus, Bechain Be David Kesef Mole. Also, if Rashi does want to prove to us that the words Kesef Mole mean full value, and he's going to prove it from Divrei Hayomim, then he could have just very easily have said, Bechain Be David, likewise, we find a reference with David HaMelech where he says, Bechesef Mole. Why does he have to tell us that David said this to Aravna? How does that help us to better understand the meaning of the expression kesef mole? Vabir b'chol zeh, so the explanation of the entire thing pivots on one concept. Bashkofer yishane b'chesef mole mashmesh mole koi ala kesef, hanish avrom medir b'zeh shemat beis, ha kesef yu milei miblich sorim b'mishkolem. You know, we forget what coins were like in those days. To us, you have a coin, whatever coin it might be, they're all the same. All nickels are the same, all dimes are the same, all quarters are the same. You don't stop to think for a second that, you know, maybe there's something different about it. In those days, they were hand-minted, really. And so your coin was worth its weight in whatever material it was made of, silver, gold, bronze, whatever it was made out of. So Avraham Avinu is saying, Kesef Mole, to say these are whole coins. They don't have any nicks, they don't have any holes, they're not lacking any, and I'm not trying to mislead you. They're genuine, worth their weight in gold coins. Or like the Yerushalmi says, Kesef Mole means that there were various currencies in those days. Even the word shekel, there were different kinds of shekel that it could refer to. Kintorin is like worth 100 times more than an ordinary shekel. In other words, as if he was trying to say, I'm giving you top dollar. I'm giving you the best of the best. Or Kirpirish Rashi, as Rashi is going to tell us later on, She'efron lokach me'avrom shekolim gedolim, that later when they eventually everything was tied up, Ephron, who initially had said he was going to be so accommodating, actually took the biggest, the best coins that he could possibly get from Avram Avinu. So perhaps that's what Kesef Mole comes to tell us, that Avram is saying, the coins I'm going to give you are really good quality coins. So Rashi wants to illustrate to us that that's not what the Pasuk is saying. That the Kesef Mole is not a commentary on the quality of the coins. And that's why it says, Ashalem kol shav yeho, that I will pay the full value to teach Ashatevas mole, einetir v'shaychas chesef atzmei kamusoy mishkoloi, that the word mole, full, with regards to money, is not to tell us full weight of the money, or full quantity of the money, or full shape of the money. Rather, it's saying full value of the property. It's not a commentary on the money, it's a commentary on the property, the object that he was buying. So therefore, Avram Omar bechesef mole hayna shalem kol shaviyah shel asade. In other words, when he said kesef mole, actually what Avram Avinu meant to say is, I won't in any way pay less than what this field is worth, what this maris hamachpelah is worth. So in other words, what he's saying is, I'll give you all the money that is necessary to cover the full value of this particular piece of land. So you might have thought Kesef Mali was a commentary on the quality of the money. It's not. It's a commentary on the value of the payment. And there's a very good reason why Rashi has no alternative but to explain it this way. It's in the context. So once you look at the context of the story, you appreciate that this is the only way it could be explained. Mehemshech haksuvim muvan, if you look at the flow of the story and the different psukim relating to the story itself, understood. When Avram Avinu approaches the Ches family and says, I want to buy this land from you and I'll pay absolute full price, Avram Avinu is deliberately addressing a proposal that was made by the Bnei Ches that he wants to reject. What was their proposal? They said to him, wow, you're a wonderful person. You're a very respected individual, representative of God between us. Take the best place you wish to bury your wife. And lo yichrem im chogemer, we won't withhold anything from you. Hainu, sheikach mem smaros machplem mibli sheyishalem mechiraki mechinam. Their proposal to Avram Avinu was like, it's a privilege for us to give you this piece of land. We're not going to charge you at all. Val ze ba tshuvasa shel Avram, she'enu maskim leze, ele bechesef mole yishalem kol shavyeha. And now Avram Avinu wants to reject that and protest that and say, there is absolutely no way I'm going to take this from you for nothing. I'm going to pay for it. And not only will I pay for it, but I'm going to pay the full amount. So that's the hechrich. That's what forces Rashi to say. That's obviously Avram Avinu's response. In context of what they've just offered him, it wouldn't be an appropriate response to say, no, don't worry, the money I'm giving you is good quality money. They had proposed giving it to him as a freebie, and Avram Avinu has to respond to that by saying, no, I will pay in full. Because if you would have suggested, as we originally thought perhaps might be the answer, that kesef mole means I'm giving you the biggest, best, highest quality coins. Then Avram Avinu would not be responding to the comment that they had just made. They were talking about how they would transfer the field, and he's now talking about what quality of money he'd used to pay for it. Because it's only relevant to discuss what kind of payment or what kind of money you're going to use only after you've passed the point where you say you're going to pay for it. So if they had said, we're giving it to you for nothing, until Avraham Avinu says, no, I insist on paying, there is no scope for a conversation about what he's going to pay or what kind of coins he's going to use. So Rashi says it is impossible to suggest Kesef Mole speaks to the type of money, because at that point in the story, we don't yet know that the deal is to buy the field. That's why Rashi Dafka inserted the word ashalem, I will pay, into his commentary, because without that insistence of I will pay, Rashi's entire interpretation of the Kesef Mole means full price doesn't necessarily come across so clearly. Once he says ashalem, now we get it. You offered me for free. I'm saying no. I'm insisting to pay. Therefore, it makes sense. Payment refers to full price. Okay, perhaps we could still wiggle our way out of this and say, well, maybe that's not so simple. But you could probably push the envelope a little bit and say, hang on, I still believe that it's possible that the word male refers to the quality of the money. Why? But you'll say, but that makes no sense. We've just illustrated. Then Avram Avinu is not responding to what the Bnei Ches just said. They said, we're giving it to you for free. And he's going to say, don't worry, the coins I have are good coins. So you can force the issue and say, Shahare emit vorov shlilo mefureshes lemat naschinam shitzu b'nei ches mikom mokim, mokim litchok v'loimar, shebezeh sheomar b'chesef molei, sheitim at beya yishleima, sheshkolim gdoilim, nichla b'derech memeile siru vo lekachas esasode b'chinim, kiim sheishalim b'avura. So you'll argue, look, He has the Bnei Ches. They say to Avraham Avinu, we're going to give you this field for free because we respect you so much. And Avraham Avinu says, actually, I'm going to give you Shkalim Gedolim, or the best top quality money. So he's kind of skipped two steps. And he said, obviously, that's an insistence on my part to pay. Because if I'm already telling you how good a quality coin I'm going to give you, then that obviously means that I've rejected your proposal that it should be for free. So we're not 100% convinced just because he says, I'm going to give you kesef mole. We're not 100% convinced that kesef mole just means I will pay. It could also mean I will pay you the best of the best, and that would work. So therefore, Rashi has to clarify further. Velochein, in order to completely reject the suggestion that this pasuk is describing the quality of coins, Moisif Rashi ve'oimer v'chein David amla Ravna b'chesef molei. In order to illustrate with absolute clarity that we're talking over here about paying full price, Rashi tells us we have another story in Divrei Hayomim. David Amelech says to Ravna, "I'm going to pay you kesef molei, full price." Rashi's not digging around just to find another place in Tanakh that uses the same expression, and then he could say, parallel the two. You see, there it was full price, here it's also full price. Instead, what Rashi wants to do over here is to strengthen his position that the translation of kesef mole means full price. In other words, a rejection of the Bnei Ches suggesting it should be for free. And the way Rashi will endorse his interpretation is based on the language and, of course, the context of what happened in Divrei Hayomim. So we better look at the story of Divrei Hayomim and understand the nature of the negotiation between David HaMelech and Aravna. And by the way, we'll see that it's actually very similar to the negotiation between Bnei Ches and Avraham Avinu, which is great. That's exactly what we want. We don't just want a word match. We actually want a contextual match. We want to say that the stories are similar, and therefore you can learn from the one to the other. So let's go look at that story and see what went on over there. It will help us to understand what's happening here. The reason that David HaMelech wanted to buy this threshing floor that belonged to Aravna at full price is something that Tanakh actually tells us. Ah, now that's very helpful because then it gives context. What does it say there? So the psukim in the section of Ksuvim in Divrei Hayomim say that David HaMelech said to Aravna, "Ki loy esa shelchol Hashem, I don't want to lift that which is yours and give it to Hashem. And I don't want to bring sacrifices in the Beis HaMikdash that would eventually be built on this plot of land for free. In other words, without any cost to me." So he spells it out. I don't want an opportunity to connect to Hashem that I didn't have to invest in or pay for. So in that context, then it's absolutely clear that David HaMelech was saying, I want to pay. There's a spiritual, philosophical reason why I want to pay. I want to own this piece of land. I don't want you to be the one who has this land that I'm just kind of using on your good graces to be able to connect to Hashem. In that case, it's very clear that Bechesef Mole means I want to pay you in full and I want to reject your suggestion of a freebie. Exactly what Rashi says Avraham Avinu is doing here. That's why Rashi specifically kind of added more to his description of the source in Divrei Hayomim and said, V'chein David Omar La'aravna. He specifically emphasized that this is what David said to Aravna. Lohiris alo inyin amedubor shom. Hayna atam shebidvorev shel David La'aravna. Ki mizeh hoichoso kenal. Because he doesn't just want to say those words, Bechesef mole, there meant full price. So therefore, obviously here they also mean full price. Rashi wanted to say, look at the conversation between David and Aravna. That conversation will help you to appreciate the nature of the negotiation, the insistence on payment, even in the face of being offered a gift. And that's exactly what's happening over here with Avraham Avinu as well. He's offered a gift and he insists on payment, and it's going to turn out that it's ready for the same reason. So, David Omar Le'aravno, especially when you look at the characters that that Rashi is highlighting over here, David HaMelech, and Aravna, who is this Canaanite, essentially. So it's by highlighting the characters of the story, actually, that Rashi solidifies his perspective and his interpretation, and that you shouldn't think that it's explained in a different way, or that Kesef Mole maybe refers to the quality of the currency. Dinei Mokem Rishol, because there's almost like a key question that you have to ask about the story over here. Key questions, fascinating question. It applies equally to both stories, but we'll ask it first with Avraham Avinu. My time at Avraham Sherotzer Knois es Asodev Amora Dafke Bechesef Mole. Why did Avraham Avinu insist Dafka that he has to pay for Maria Samach Peda? Hallo hoyochlitol oi sambloi tashlum min adin shomra kodesh borkol zar khoy stayna sarat azois. He could have easily, even if they hadn't offered it to him for free, he could have easily come over to these people and said, listen, Hashem has given this land to me, it's mine. Thank you very much, I'm taking Maria Samach Peda. I don't have to pay you a cent, it's ridiculous. I'm going to pay you for something that actually belongs to me. So he could have invoked, as Rashi tells us, min hadin, he could have invoked that there's a legal precedent why I should have this land and I don't have to pay you. So why does he dafka insist on paying? So Rashi says, I know you have that question. So that's why I'm going to dafka illustrate that in Divrei Hayomim, you've got an interaction between David Amelech, very important to understand the characters of the story, and a man called Aravna, who, by the way, as we're about to discover, was himself a king not long before this particular story. And nevertheless, David insisted on paying good money for the field or for the threshing floor there, which will help us to understand why Avraham Avinu wants to pay good money for Maria Samach Peda here. So what's the story there? If you know history, you'll appreciate this. David HaMelech Kovash es Yerushalayim me'aravna ha-melech. David HaMelech conquered Yerushalayim from the king who ruled over Yerushalayim, who was this self-same guy, Aravna. He used to be the king of Yerushalayim. Uvemeila zocho b'chulo midin kibush. And therefore, David HaMelech could have taken any piece of land that he wished in Yerushalayim because he was now the conqueror and he had overtaken the land and it absolutely belonged to him according to, you know, both Torah law and I suppose international law at that time as well. It was his. But now David HaMelech wants to build a Mizbeach over there. He doesn't rely on the fact that he deserves the land because he had conquered it. And he doesn't even want to rely on the fact that Aravna, who is now, so to speak, the conquered, says, I'll give it to you as a gift. Neither of those is good enough for David HaMelech. He insists dafka on acquiring it at full price. He says, I'll tell you what the issue I have is. I know that legally I could take this land and nobody could protest it. But I don't want your thing, your item, your piece of land to be incorporated into what I lift up and raise to Hashem. Kloimar, meaning, Im hayo David lokeach es agoyren v'chulei rak mishum shehu sheloi midin kibush. Let's say that David HaMelech would have said, I am now claiming this piece of land because I'm the conqueror and therefore I have the right to take it. Azai ein ze shele legamre sheichus shel Aravna lahagoyren. That does not totally remove the connection between Aravna and this piece of land. In other words, people will say, oh, David HaMelech is now bringing a sacrifice on Aravna's threshing floor. That's the association that people would make. It's still his. It was just taken by rule of law. Void yoiser. Gam kashitnu lo Aravna b'matona shenoisin legami sheichusu zoi hamuetes. Now, even if Aravna would give it to him as a gift, in which case he relinquishes that tenuous connection that he has with this piece of property, b'kol zois nishar agoyin adayim b'vchinas asher l'cho, sheyesh lo yoyid l'Aravna eiz achiza, uschus begoyin k'lio asher asher l'cho. David HaMelech says it's still going to be connected to Aravna, the donor. He's the donor of this land. There's always going to be some kind of an association. It's always going to somehow be connected and track back to him. And David didn't want that. David HaMelech says, I want to pay you off so that you're gone, so that you have no association, no recriminations, no claims, no yichus. Gone! You have nothing further to do with this piece of land. You are paid off. Goodbye. Because when he brings a korban, David HaMelech, he wants the korban to be pure. Not in any way, shape, or form tethered to a king of the Canaanite nations. V'alderech zeh b'avrom sheloi rata shamara sheba yikbar esara uva yik kavur gam hu shara oves v'aymois tishar b'eze shehi shaychus lefren b'ayfen sheshmoy alevach yoytze b'azeh. Avram Avinu has exactly the same motivation. He's about to purchase a piece of land where he's going to bury Sarah. Later he himself would be buried there, and then Yitzchak and Rivka and Yaakov and Leah. He doesn't want to have any even remote connection to Ephron. And that's the connection Rashi makes between the two stories. And that's why Dafka says, Ashalem, I will pay. And Dafka says, David, Omar la Ravna, that David said this to Ravna, because that helps us to understand the nature of the conversation and the motivation of both of those great giants of people, that they wanted to ensure that something which is in the realm of holiness should be absolutely free of any historical connection to something that was unholy. David wants to completely expunge Aravna from the piece of land that would later be the Beis HaMikdash. Avram Avinu wants to completely remove Ephron from the piece of land that would become the burial place of the greatest people of the founding fathers of the Jewish nation. So that resolves Rashi's commentary. We are still going to see two interesting things from Rashi, one in the realm of halacha and one in the realm of personal take-home lesson. What's incredible about Rashi is that sometimes you find these extraordinary insights that apply to other areas of Torah beyond his commentary. In this particular instance, when you look at Rashi's commentary here, it resolves an halachic issue that may arise elsewhere. So what's the issue? We're talking over here about the purchase of land, so it will have an halachic implication on the laws of the purchase of fixed property. The Gemara uses as a source, a primary source for the fact that you can use money to buy a field, to buy fixed property, from a pasuk in Yirmiyahu that says you will buy fields with money. And Tosfos, commenting on that Gemara, says the reason why the Gemara did not bring our scenario here with Avram Avinu buying Bechesef Mole, buying the Maris HaMachpeda from Ephron, is because you might then argue, hang on a second, perhaps that's because Ephron is not Jewish, and any transaction with a non-Jewish person is specifically through money. But perhaps that's not a reflection on how a Jewish person is supposed to buy property from another Jewish person. So Tosfos feels that there's kind of a disconnect between Avram Avinu's purchase of the Maris HaMachpela and the generalized law of how you go about buying fixed property. But when you look at Rashi's interpretation, and he says that Avram Avinu insisted he's paying full value for the property, then you don't need Tosfos to comment on the Gemara and why the Gemara says you can't learn the concept of purchasing land using money from the story of Ephron, because actually now it's self-evident once you look at Rashi's perspective. Point number one is, if this were the source, let's just assume that you had to learn that you can purchase land using money from the story of Avram and Ephron, then you would also learn that the only way you could ever purchase land is if you pay kol shavyeha, if you pay the full price. Now, that's not the case. Willing buyer, willing seller, right? If two people stand together and they have a conversation, they decide this field, this factory, this house, it's actually worth $1 million, but I'm going to sell it to you for 800,000. Okay, acceptable. You've made a deal, handshake, thank you very much, and you pay him the 800,000, it becomes yours. You wouldn't be able to know that that is an acceptable transaction in halacha based on our story of Avram and Ephron. In fact, on the contrary, Avram seems to insist that the only way a transaction can work, if it's about fixed property, is only if you pay full price. So there's a good reason why the Gemara wouldn't use our pasuk to prove the generalized law of how you purchase property. Furthermore, in a noisif loze, Avram Avin is also in a unique position where, as we've already illustrated, he could theoretically have just taken Maris HaMachpeda from Ephron, and Ephron could do nothing about it because legally it was already his land. Hashem had given it to him. So why is he paying money? Not to acquire it, It's to get rid of Ephron. It's not to buy the land. The land's already his. He doesn't need to buy it. It's to get Ephron off the land, away from the land, disassociated from the land. So it goes without saying that this cannot be a source for the principle that you buy land using money, because Avraham Avinu is not buying the land. It's his land. He's only giving the money to get rid of Ephron and any complaints that he may have in the future. So isn't that fascinating that you've got a Rashi that doesn't seem to have any halachic impact, but once you look into it, you realize it's got a very strong halachic position that helps us to understand why the Gemara, when it eventually teaches us the principle that you can buy land with cash, does not use this story as its base. And lastly, what's the take-home lesson for us? Quite an important take-home lesson that applies to many areas of Judaism. So the so-called why and the geshmak, the deeper insight that this Rashi offers us, Isa b'Zohar, the Zohar says, Chassidus quotes this often, "Shehamitzvah tzrichis liyos loy bereknaya uvemagona," that when a person does a mitzvah, it should never be done in an empty environment or for free. Ki oz l'nimshach al mitzvah shruchu dikedusha, because as is explained over there, if a person does not have to pay something, if it doesn't cost you anything to do a mitzvah, then you're unable to bring the spirit of kedusha into that mitzvah. The idea of getting things for free absolutely belongs to the realm of impurity. That's why the Jewish people complained in the desert. We remember the foods, the various foods that we used to eat in Egypt for free. Yes, if you're in Egypt, things are for free. You don't have to invest. You don't have to put in effort. You don't have to try. Everything falls into place. Click and download. Rather, the approach of holiness is that you have to invest effort and you have to put in money and full price, actually. You've got to give the best of what you've got, whether that's your resources, your mind, your time, your energy, and your money, in order to get what holiness has to offer. That's why Rashi highlights for us that Avraham Avinu insists, I'm going to pay in full. And not only him, likewise, David HaMelech says, I'm going to pay in full. And he says, well, look, in Divrei HaYomim, the pasuk is clear where it says, I don't want to bring a sacrifice to Hashem that is a free sacrifice. I don't want that. It's not the correct approach. Rather, this is the way Avraham Avinu actually lived his whole life, not only about the Maris HaMachpelah, but all the good things that he did and the Gemilas Chasodim, the kindness and the generosity and hospitality that he showed. Everything was top dollar. Everything was absolute investment. And that teaches us a lesson in what it means to be Jewish. So that is a direct lesson for us. Every single one of us, through serving Hashem, doing mitzvahs, learning Torah, engaging the world, our job is to take our piece of the world and elevate it to Kedusha, to holiness. That in our environment, we should control our environment, not the other way around, like the Hayom Yom says. We should not be influenced by our environment. We should create our environment. We become the balabos. We determine the reality of the physical space in which we live. And that means that means we have to own, just like Avraham Avinu wanted to own Maris HaMachpelah, and it should have nothing more to do with Ephron. We have to own the space, the reality, the objects, the activities that we're engaged with in this world, that they should belong to us. By extension, that means belong to Kedusha without any association to the things of the secular, impure world. A person shouldn't say to himself, wow, look at me, I'm a person who happens to be gifted with incredible talents, and I find that the Torah just kind of comes to me relatively easily. I open a book, I read it, it's not so hard, I understand what's going on. And I find it easy to fulfill Torah mitzvahs because I don't have such a big yetzahara and it doesn't obscure my vision too much. Therefore, the concept of having to invest and to have to work and to push to serve Hashem, that's not for me. I, Baruch Hashem, don't have this issue. Judaism is easy for me. I'm a naturally frum person. I'm a smart person. I have great talents. And it just, it's plain sailing. There are, nebuch, other people out there who really have to push hard and they really have to work in order to connect to Hashem. Al zebo ha-hiram Avram v'David sheloi rotzu liknes b'chinam gam eschelkom ha-magia v'sho yocholim litoil b'kal b'nokel and nosnu avuroi kol shavyeha. Comes along Avram Avinu, comes along David HaMelech, and they say, it's so easy. You know how easy it is for me to get Maris HaMachpelah? I just pull out the God gave it to me card and it's mine. David HaMelech could easily take Gur and Aravna, no problem, say, I conquered this land, it's mine. Finished, easy, such an easy path. And what do they do? Deliberately choose not to follow the easy path. They deliberately choose to follow the path that requires input, requires commitment, requires giving, requires feeling the pinch. Thereby, Avraham Avinu and David HaMelech teach us that even if you're a person who finds it quite easy to learn Torah and quite easy to engage with mitzvahs, that's not good enough. It's not good enough just to say, I'm using my natural talents. I'm going with the flow. I'm automatically connected. That's not good enough. Our opportunity, our purpose of why Hashem put us into this world is to lift the world, to refine the world, to elevate the world to Hashem. And the only way to do that is by pushing hard and doing things which are difficult for us and pushing ourselves beyond what is comfortable and doing things that are not easy necessarily to do. Through that we get to the end of the story, which is where Avraham Avinu pays 400 of the best silver coins to Ephron, which by the way also has a spiritual meaning. It represents the four, Kesef represents this yearning for Hashem. So it's 400 realms of yearning for Hashem, which is reserved only for tzaddikim. In the language of Chassidus, is galus b'china seivev kol olmin. In the language of Chassidus, it means to be exposed to the greatest degree of divine revelation, what's called seivev kol olmin, a revelation of Hashem that is beyond all of the structures and all of the hierarchies of all of the worlds. Leva'ameich kulam tzadikim, to each of us as a tzadik. In other words, very simple take-home message. Yes, we could easily qualify as really from really learned people, but that's not what Yiddishkeit is about. Yiddishkeit is about how much we push ourselves, how much we do things that are not natural for us and not easy for us and require sweat equity in Hashem's business, which then opens up worlds of revelation and experience of godliness we could never, ever have imagined.